Tonight, I am taking the KC-1000 for a spin. This comes to us from Kingston, and what they've done is brilliant. Now, you know about SSD drives. They're fast, right? We used to use these spinning hard drives in our computers. They would basically be the bottleneck of our computers. We got to the point where technology grew in such a way that central processing units were no longer the bottleneck. RAM was no longer the bottleneck. We've got 32 gigs in our system, and we've got 4 gigahertz, and we've got all this power, but we still had spinning hard drives at 7,200 rotations per minute, so it was slowing down our system. So then along comes SSD on an SATA bus. That's what you plug it into. They look a little something like this, and they plug into your computer like that, and they are fast, super fast. Like 10 times faster than your average hard drive. So you pop one of those in, and instantly you've got better performance. You've got a much, much faster computer. It's a great upgrade to go with SSD. Now, here we are. It's 2017. We've got a technology that has been available for a while called M.2. And M.2 is a new take on storage because chips have evolved to the point where those chips are super fast. And what was the problem with them before? They were small. They didn't have a lot of capacity. Well, nowadays, chips have gotten to the point where on a single M2, which is a replacement for your hard drive, it's a little, it looks like a RAM module. It's about that size, a little bit smaller. You can have a terabyte of data easily. You want a 240, 260 gig M.2, it's no problem at all. Now, Kingston, of course, has the KC-1000, which is a 1 terabyte solid-state drive. It's an M.2 on a controller card. Now, I'm going to show you that. So why have they brought this out? What is so exciting about this for us in a technology, you know, well, great, it's a new type of storage, and M.2 is faster. But here's the thing. Your motherboard may not have an M.2 controller, which what it does is it bypasses the SATA controller. So we think about that. So the hard drive is no longer the bottleneck. The memory is no longer the bottleneck. The CPU is no longer the bottleneck. The hard drive itself, the storage, is very, very fast. But the cable that connects that hard drive to your computer, or that solid-state drive to your computer's motherboard, is called SATA. Serial ATA. And it is fast, but it's not as fast as the chips can handle. So along comes M.2 and says, okay, we're going to take this, we're going to make it so that it no longer needs your storage to be on the SATA controller. We're doing away with that need altogether, and we're saying, okay, we're going to put it on a new controller for M.2. It's so much faster. We're talking 4 times faster than a standard SATA hard solid-state drive that you would consider to be fast. So if you've got a computer that doesn't have M.2 capability, it doesn't have that port for that new chip, along comes Kingston and says, here you go. We've got an answer. Now, I've got an overhead camera I'm just going to fire up here. We're going to see if I can get you a shot. I want to show you what this is going to look like. Let's see if I can pull this up. Okay. So, with my trusty mouse and touchscreen display, there we go. Bring this up, and there. Okay, you guys can still hear me, you can see me. Fantastic. Okay, so here we go with a live unboxing of this card and what makes this so special. So, get her into focus here. There we go. So, the Kingston KC-1000 is an X4 card on the PCIe bus. So we're doing away with the need for SATA, but we're setting it up as a card in your computer that has an M.2 on it. That's the quick and dirty way to understand it anyways. And they've also included a low profile plate here in case you want to put it in, say, a 1U server. This would be amazing storage for your server. But here's the thing about the card itself. This is part of how Kingston is getting around the bottlenecks of your system and giving you the world's fastest data storage. The card uses what's called NVMe or NVMe Express, and that allows this particular M.2 to work even faster than normal by utilizing the throughput of not one, but 4 PCI Express 3.0 lanes. Now, NVMe also has a queue depth that's more than 2,000 times that of AHCI, meaning that it can do more stuff in the same amount of time. I happen to have an X16 in my computer that is not being used. Fantastic. So we're gonna see about putting that in there. So let's get under the computer here, and I'm going to see about plugging this bad boy in. All right. Got a camera under the desk. All right, so you can see my X.16. there I go with the dot. My X16 there, the blue port. So with the KC1000, nice and simple installation. I'm just going to pop that in there. The PCI Express slots, if they're bigger, so this is an X16, you see that? It's a big slot. It can take anything up to X16, so you could have an X1 in there. With the X4, I can just pop it right in. There we go. Okay, so just put a little thumb screw in there to hold it in. Now, do note, I've got the computer powered off. I've got the computer, the power supply switched off, and I've waited for the power to come out of the power supply. And I have grounded myself as well. So do keep those things in mind as you're working with internal components like this. All right. Now, let's get back up here. And so that's all done. So that's installed. I'm going to boot up my computer, and let's get a look at what this is going to do for us. So first thing I need to do now on this particular computer, I am sitting on Windows 10. That's because we use this for Telestream Wirecast broadcasting. So on Windows 10, what I need to do is it's not telling me anything, but it is ready to go. All I need to do is actually partition this hard drive. I've got to set it up with a partition table. So I'm going to go with GPT, and once that's initialized, I can just scroll down to that hard drive, and we're going to format that NTFS, the NT file system. So that's not going to take long. I'm going to do a quick format, and we're just going to call that the KC1000 so that we know which drive we're looking at when I look at my computer. Okay, so now I've got a couple of screenshots here I want to show you. First of all, let's do a quick comparison of my standard hard drive, of my solid state hard drive versus the one that that we're installing right now. So I'm going to just jump onto drive here. Now, keep in mind, why is this important to us here at Category 5 Technology TV? So Telestream Wirecast has this incredible feature called ISO recording. Have you ever heard of that? What ISO recording does is it allows us to record from every single camera simultaneously. Think about that for a second. So from a broadcaster's perspective, Telestream Wirecast is able to take not only the mix, so I can take this, I can do this, and I can go like this, and I can go like that, and I can switch cameras, but what it can do is record to disk all of the cameras simultaneously. So I get a feed that is mixed like this, and I get a feed that is individual recordings, one for each camera. Why does that matter? Now, from a broadcaster's perspective, that matters because now I can take those full HD or even 4K recordings from my recorder, the ISO recorder in Wirecast, and put them into my editor, and I can start putting them together and do better production values than I can live. So that's incredible, but it takes a boatload of resources. So you think about, now we broadcast at 1080p. You think about the fact that we also have a Magewell 4K capture card in there. We could be capturing at 4K from a 4K camera as well. So we've got that capability, but we don't have the power to save it to disk simultaneously all at once because our hard drive can only write at a little more than 500 megabytes a second. So we need to have something a lot faster. So we're going to benchmark these kind of in a head-to-head comparison. You're going to see my SSD, which is a good one, and you're also going to see the KC1000 as well so that we can get an idea, you know, is it really as significant of a boost as we're hoping for, as we're expecting, and will it work really, really well for Telestream Wirecast ISO recordings. So if you're a broadcaster, check out Wirecast. It is cat5.tv/wirecast. And this, as I said, can record all cameras to disks simultaneously. So you have to have very, very fast storage in order to do that. We're going to learn a little bit about the difference of, you know, how data is written to our hard drives tonight. But essentially, when I think about Telestream Wirecast, it's a very good example, broadcasting in general, a very good example of sequential writing. So even if my hard drive, my SSD, my M.2 was not super fast to read, as long as I've got super extremely fast writing speed and it can handle very, very fast sequential writes, it should do pretty well. Now that's because when I hit record on Telestream Wirecast, I'm recording to disk, baby. I don't care about what size the blocks are. I just want it to record straight to the disk like my old analog recorder. Press record, let her go. So my original hard drive, the one that I normally use and the one that I'm using tonight to record to, is also a Kingston hard drive. Now, I've brought it up on newegg.ca just to give me a look at what it is, what it looks like, and that is the HyperX. See if I can bring up my... Oh, I can't bring up my laptop. I haven't plugged in the HDMI. So give me 1 second. I'm just going to fade to black. I'm going to come back. I'm going to plug in my laptop so that you can see what I see. And you won't even know I've been gone. And we're back. And there you have it. HDMI is plugged into my laptop, so now I can show you. Okay, so this is the hard drive that I normally record to. It's a small one. It's 120 gig SH103 S3 from Kingston. It's the HyperX, and it's super fast. So how fast is it? If I get in here, let's get a look. So max sequential read is up to 555 megabytes per second. Do you see that there? And max sequential write is up to 510 megabytes per second. So, of course, this is an SATA hard drive, SSD, and so the speeds for what it is are extremely good. Really, really nice and fast. Let's get a look at what Newegg says about the one that we're putting in today, the KC1000 from Kingston. So, just going to pop over there. According to the specifications, now this is the 240 gig model. Kingston has up to the, I believe it's the 1 terabyte, the one that I have, but Newegg does not. They have up to the 240 right now. That will change. So max sequential read, you ready for it? 2700 megabytes per second. Max sequential write on the 240 gig model is up to 900 megabytes per second. So that's almost twice that as far as writing goes as my SSD, even though my SSD is a very, very good one. Now, if I actually check the 1 terabyte model, it's faster. So if we go to Kingston.com, and this card in the 1 terabyte model is actually faster than what we're seeing there on Newegg with the 240 gig. So, I don't know if it says it on the box for us. That would be handy. Our internet seems to be going a little bit wonky there. That's okay. It does. Okay, my apologies. So, as soon as you hit the 480 gigabyte model, it jumps 1600 megabytes per second. And it's the same for the 960, the 1 terabyte model as well, the one that we're using here tonight. Okay, so with that in mind, we now have storage that reads and writes like exponentially faster than what we're used to, even with a good SSD. So I've run some benchmarks here. I've got Crystal Disk Mark, which I'm going to kind of explain to you how this works. But Crystal Disk Mark allows me on Microsoft Windows to do a really easy test of the speed of the hard drive. So what I've done is I've got it up and going for my F drive, which is the solid state drive that we're normally recording to. And you see that my sequential reads, the fourth green icon down here, sequential, is 269 megabytes per second read and 189.6 write. And that's in these tests. So what I've done, now Crystal Disk Mark, what I've done here is I've set the repeat of the test to be 5. So typically with anywhere from 3 and up, you're going to have a pretty accurate result. So it retests up to 5 times. And I'm using a 2 gigabyte file because I'm usually working with a fairly large file anyways. And I've run that on that hard drive, the SSD. So those are the speeds that I'm getting. So 281.6 sequential when I've got a queue depth of 32. And the 4K, so the block size being 4K, which your operating system may do to you, is when it breaks it up into smaller files, if you will, so that it can burst them to the drive. And it, you know, on an old hard drive, it makes sure that you don't have a. I guess what it does is it makes it faster in some use cases. But here, I really am interested in the sequential read and write, especially the write. So. And I don't pretend to be a brilliant genius when it comes to this kind of stuff, but I do want to share with you the results. So I've got the 281.6 read and 191 write, and it's pretty close to the same without the queue depth. So to explain the difference there, so I'm looking at mainly the sequential is what I care about. Sequential queue depth of 32, so basically what that means is that it's doing 32 operations at a time. Your computer will try to do multiple things at a time as it's reading and writing to a disk so that it doesn't bottleneck, it doesn't hold things up. Otherwise, if you were writing a 10 gig file to your hard drive, everything else would freeze if all of the queues were dedicated specifically to that operation. So your computer breaks it up into, in this case, the test is a queue depth of 32 threads. So you've got 32 things happening at once. And the speed is pretty similar to that of just a straight sequential single stream to the hard drive, 270 megabytes read and 190 write. Now, let's look at the KC1000. Huge difference on sequential. So my sequential read speed with a queue depth of 32 is 1,373 megabytes per second. Now, my write speed, I've told you that's what really matters to me as a broadcaster. My write speed on that card is 1,380 megabytes per second. So you think about that. Now, so we've got almost, well, what was it? We had 191 sequential on the SSD, and we do pretty well with that. So 5 times? No, more than that. Like, so much faster. We're talking an exponential jump, like 10 times the speed for writes. And it's, even though they don't match up quite as closely, you can see that the sequential speed on just a single thread is very, very impressive as well. 1,023 megabytes read and 1,086 write. Very, very impressed with this card. Oh boy. Can you imagine this in your gaming rig? Wow. Okay, folks, chat room, what do you think? Do you have any benchmarks of your system? Have you ever taken a look at the actual speed of your drive? I'd love to kind of have a little bit of a comparison as to, you know, how fast is your SSD compared to the KC1000. So from our perspective, now we're able to turn on that ISO recording feature, which I hope to do over the next little while. We're able to introduce more cameras and be able to record them to disk simultaneously thanks to the speed and the incredible throughput of this card. And thinking of throughput, the one kind of final thing that I want to just mention is the fact that, hey, we also have to look at consistency. That's pretty important, right? So I actually threw it on Flashbench as well. And now this is my SSD. My SSD, you can see, look at the left-hand side there, 265 megabytes per second. So that's the starting point. And it kind of drops, and it has some peaks and dives, and then it has a pretty consistent tapering off near the 16K block size. So nice and fast up here at 265 megabytes per second, but then it drops off. But these valleys are what kind of concern me. that means that we're not having a very stable speed. It's dropping off and then coming back, and then dropping off and then coming back. That would concern me when it comes to recording video. So looking at the KC1000, now on the left-hand side, you see that a starting point is 1.2 gigabytes per second. So much, much higher starting point. And we've got a better consistency here. So our reads and writes are both really consistent. The tapering off is very smooth, very consistent, and tapers off at about the same point, but actually tapers off around the same speed that the SSD starts at. 258 megabytes per second. So we're seeing a really good throughput there, really nice consistent result, and a really nice clean tapering off of the speed of that drive, depending on the block size. Again, I'm mostly interested in sequential writes. That's my thing. But I think we've proven that the KC1000 is screaming fast. It's consistent. I'm going to really, I'm going to let you know a year from now how things have gone in the server. Feel free to ask because we're going to be able to improve things with that improved performance. So now somebody says to me, where's the bottleneck now? So if storage, if SATA is no longer our bottleneck, what have we to bottleneck our system? And I think it is going to have to go back to the CPU. What do you think? So is the central processing unit now going to become our next bottleneck again? So we're going through this cycle of, everything has gotten fast now. I can't think of another component in there that, we haven't seen the same gains, but CPUs are making improvements as well, and we're really starting to see some pretty cool stuff coming out. So let us know. Let me know. What do you think? What do you predict is going to be the next bottleneck now that Kingston with the KC1000 has done away with the bottleneck of the SATA bus? So that is the KC1000 from Kingston. You can get them at kingston.com or go through our shop. It would be a great way to support the show. Go to category5.tv and click on support us, and you'll see shop with us shop in our online store, and you'll be able to find that product or look at the links below. And those are our partner links, which just simply help us out by giving us a small commission on the sale. Solbu predicts that the bottleneck is now the human operator.